Welcome to the Canna Cook Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Welcome back to the Canna Cook Podcast. We are excited today because we are going to continue a conversation we started just a few weeks ago with Adam Donier. Joe, we started this conversation about the perils of the iPhone and just really talking about social media. And what we quickly realized was, wow, we have a lot more to talk about. So we are excited to continue the conversation on what do we do with this? What's good for our minds? What's best for our souls? How do we teach our kids how to use technology? How do we as adults and students, how do we treat it? What would Jesus have us to do? So, Joe, would you reintroduce our guest today?
Well, it's one of my favorite subjects. I've known Adam for about 20 years, and we've worked together closely for all those years. Adam is, as I've told people many times, he's the best communicator to high school kids that I know on planet Earth. He also speaks at our little bitty hillbilly church that now has like 2,900 people coming on Sunday mornings and does a great job teaching in the church. He runs our Linkear. And, you know, Linkear is our high school graduate program, which Adam brought to Canna Cook, and now he's brought these basketball teams, these four wonderful basketball teams who've won the national championship at the prep level and at the high school level. They've been runner-up national champions and in the Final Four in the national championship tournament this year. Adam, I could go on and on, but it's great to have you back on the show communicating with everyone who's listening about social media, and you do it as well as anybody.
Well, Beth Ann and Joe, thank you guys so much for having me back. Always fun to be with you. I asked my wife a couple nights ago if she thought more harm or good came from the smartphone. And then we surveyed it, and our survey, about 713 people responded. And it was 84% said harmful, and the 16% said good. And so it made me think of the verse, 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. And I think that's what I get excited about continuing the conversation with the two of you is smartphones in and of themselves, technology is not inherently evil, but what is it doing to our souls? What is it doing to our teens? And what is it doing to our families?
So good, Adam. Adam, I think a good place to maybe start the conversation back today is, you know, obviously, as we look to scripture, they didn't have smartphones. They didn't have technology. There's no black and white. Here's how you should treat these things. And so whether you're a parent, you're single, you're a student, how would you encourage people out there to look to scripture on what can we see from God's word that can teach us how we can interact with social media in a healthy way that honors him?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think there's a couple of verses that we can look to and how they directly apply to what we see in social media. For example, when you have teens sliding into Snapchat snaps and requesting nudes and trying to get them to show their body parts and or either subjugating themselves to certain type of photos to get more likes or whatever they make it, we got reminded that our body's a temple. Right? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. God clearly lays that out in his word. And for all us to understand, like that temple shouldn't be marketed across social media for other people to pick at and to subjugate to critique and all those things. David says in Psalm 101:3, here's the other part of social media that we see is the access to pornography, both soft shell pornography and hardcore pornography, but the access to it that it was, growing up, the only access I had to pornography, Beth Ann and Joe, when I grew up was a cellophane wrapped magazine behind the convenience store. And I could look at it 10 feet away. Now a kid can just touch one Instagram post and he has access to hardcore pornography. And scripture says in Psalm 101:3, I will put no vile thing before my eyes. Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. And so there's a lot of scripture that would actually speak against the access of pornography in social media. And I know even parents will put triple X on there and canine and different things to protect. But if you're allowing your kid to have any form of social media, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, X or Twitter, formerly known as, they have access to pornography. They 100% have access to pornography, even if you have those apps on there, if you're allowing them to have those other apps. Social media creates an unbelievable, venomous, and toxic culture of critique and hateful speech, right? It's so easy for people to speak without having to put their identity on it. So you see people say things that are so hurtful. And so, and whether or not we want to use the old kid adage that like sticks and stones may break my bones, but that's not true. We all know words have hurt us. All of us on this podcast right now and all of us listening, words do hurt. And people have so much boldness to speak words that I don't think they'd ever speak to someone face to face that they're willing to do on social media. Titus 3:1-2 reminds us to avoid quarreling, to avoid gossip, and to speak evil to no one. And I just am so sad for this generation at the amount of evil and hurtful speech that I see through with unidentified people. So there's people that are hurting, but they don't even know who they are, and they don't even have a relationship with those people. And then I think that also ties into Titus 3:10, which just says, don't stir up division. Don't stir up division. And I think one of the great uses and how the enemy has used social media is to divide us as a country, to divide us politically, to divide us across the board. And it's working, right? It is working, and it's sad to see.
You're hitting the nail on the head, Adam. Joe and I are just sitting here like shaking our heads, just, yes, this is so true. And I was thinking about James, you know, 1:19-20, that just talks about being slow to speak and quick to listen. But what we see is the opposite. We are quick to speak, slow to listen, and we are quick to become angry. And just like you said, it's not even normally with people that you know, it's strangers. And then you think about Galatians 5, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And a good maybe internal question is, are these fruits being produced in my life, you know, after I'm spending copious amounts of time online? Like, am I growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? I think that last one's a big one, self-control. Even for those of us that may not be using it in a negative way, are we just spending too much time? We have no self-control or discipline in the time limits. And so I think those scriptures that you shared are a great guide to help us begin to really look at how can we use social media in a way that honors God.
Yeah, and Bethany, and just hitchhiking on what Adam is saying, you know, Adam and I work with high school kids and college students. That's our world. And we are both hit in the face every day with the most anxious generation. I'm talking about our young people, ages 10, 11, wherever the iPhone begins to plague this generation, you know, all the way through high school, all the way through college, and into young adult life. And we just see so much fear and, of course, uncounseled or unsuppressed anxiety and fear lead to depression, and uncared for depression leads to suicide. And, you know, there's surveys all over the place about what a plague tendencies towards suicidal thinking are among, you know, our youth generation today. And so, you know, we counsel, Adam and I do, constantly in our work. We don't have professional counseling services. We just, it's our work, day to day, working with high school and college students. And we use Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, because that scripture's antidote or solution to anxiety. And every believer knows this verse, where Paul admonishes us to be anxious for nothing. My friend Gary Smalley used to say that worry is temporary atheism. And so as we take God out of our concerns and out of our difficult circumstances that we all have, but as we take God out of those, anxiety is the result. And the iPhone is fertilizer. It is nutrition for our anxious thoughts. And so the scriptures say, be anxious for nothing. And then it gives you the solution. But in everything, with prayer, and that is saying, God, this is your problem, not mine. I give this to you. You can handle my problem. You've got this thing, God. I believe in you. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And so as we pray and we give our worries to God and we shut off the stinking iPhone and put it in the drawer and divorce our marriage to our iPhones, then we can say, God, I'm thankful that you've got this problem. And then it says, let your request be made known to God. And then it gives you the greatest promise. If you can get the iPhone out of your life, the addiction out of your life, and it says the peace of God, the screaming need among the generations that Adam and I work with is the peace of God. But the promise is the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. It's bigger than you can imagine, this peace. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Adam, do you see how anxiety is killing this generation, literally?
Yes, and it's probably the, I would have told you 10 years ago that pornography was what was destroying them, and it's still there, but I will run to anxiety is paralyzing this generation. And that is what I see really crippling this generation, and it's all back to this phones. You look at the research and the statistics and everything else, and you see a more anxious, depressed, and paralyzed generation than you've ever seen in the history of humanity. And to go to another verse that talks about what to do with this anxiety, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties unto him because he cares for you. There's two things I want to point out there. One, the idea of cast. Peter's saying this, right? Peter was a fisherman. He didn't have a fishing pole like my little buddy Anders does and throwing it in the pond. These were nets. It was him and Andrew on two sides of this net that had lots of weight on it because those weights had to sink down to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee to gather up the fish. And so it took everything they had to cast this net, to get it out open as it can as it dropped into the sea. And so when Peter's saying cast, he's saying give it all. Like give it all to him. And then the back part of that verse, because he cares for you. And here's where the anxiety lies. Our young people, and even adults, parents, 20s, 30s, are running to social media that doesn't care for them to try to get their worth and value. And God's like, no. Cast it to me. Stop trying to find your problems and your solutions to be taken care of in social media when I'm telling you to cast it to me. That's not going to answer your solution. That's just going to keep lying to you. All those things are going to be false truths. I have the truth. Cast it to me because I care for you. Nothing and no one else will care for you more than the Lord does. And that is why I think this generation is so crippled by anxiety, is because they're looking to be approved outside of the one who has already approved of them.
You know, that iPhone, it's like, you know, going through a Walmart store or a Target store, and it's just so much stuff. And aren't you tired, listeners, of all the cookies and all the commercials and all the iPhone notifications that beep all night long and all day long? As, you know, Apple Inc., who's making some $233.7 billion a year with all the cookies and all the advertisements and then throw in all the pornographic images that are thrown at us. Don't you feel worn out by all of that?
Yeah. And I'm worn out because I see it 340 days a year between camp and Link on what it's doing to our young generation. I'm seeing it played out before my eyes every day. And there's a common denominator, and that common denominator is a phone. I'm just telling you, we just graduated 2 days ago, the 13th class of Link Year. So these are college freshmen and some of them that did a year of college and then came and did Link Year. And the amount of anxiety that I see in class 13 versus what I saw in class 1 is that there has been a significant cultural shift right before my eyes.
It's crazy too, as we're talking, we know as believers, even through these scriptures we've just shared, like we know the source to go to when we're feeling anxious and when we're needing hope or needing encouragement, but we've bought into a false gospel that, you know, when I need peace, when I need rest, when I need a break from my problems, I'm going to run to social media and that's going to fill me. And it's doing the exact opposite. And so our minds, we just continue to fill with all of these images, reels, commercials, advertisements, things that we need, money we're going to spend. We've left no room for God. You know, we've chosen lesser little g gods to try to solve what only God the Father can solve. And so Joe, as we get into the next part of this conversation, how do we begin to come out of this addiction? What are some practical steps we can take as we want to step in freedom from this area?
Yes, Beth Ann. Fortunately, Adam and I also see a lot of kids who break into freedom. Jesus says in John 8, verse 33, if the Son of Man sets you free, you'll be truly free. And he says the truth will set you free. And so there is freedom in Christ. And Adam and I get to see that. I have often, you know, as I admonish our high school students, our college students to get off porn, that there is freedom from that addiction. And I see kids a year later and they'll come up to me, and this happens a lot, and they'll say things like, "Do you remember me?" And I'll look at them and I'll go, "Your face looks familiar, but it looks really, really different at the same time." And I'll say, "Remind me." And they'll say, "A year ago, after your conversation with us about the perils of pornography and the addiction to the iPhone, I got off of it completely. And I used the tools that you'd shared with me for freedom." And they go, "I've been free for a year." Emancipation in Christ is indeed Jesus' solution for addictions. And here is the emancipation plan. Please play this to your children, and maybe you need to play it to yourself. It's the ABCs of freedom. The A is for accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one believer sharpens the other." We encourage our young people to find somebody, a parent, a youth counselor, or a trusted, biblically-oriented friend. Every week or every day, check in. Were you pure? Were you pure? Were you pure? The B is a biblical standard. Psalms 101:3, Adam referred to. That is the one we plaster all over K-Land. "I'll put nothing unclean before my eyes." If kids and adults will put that on their iPhone, on their brain, and on their computer, "I'll put nothing unclean before my eyes," and use that biblical standard, there is freedom. C is from 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul admonishes to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that means wiping out apps. Kids actually are courageous today, very courageous today. That's why I love working with students. They have courage that us adults need to admire and look up to. But they're wiping off Instagram. They're wiping off Snapchat. They're wiping off TikTok. They're wiping off Facebook and other apps because they know, as I say to them, "Is your wife more important than your iPhone? Or is your iPhone more important than your wife?" And they'll go, "Well, my future wife obviously is more important." Well, then choose. Because if you've got your iPhone in your pocket, it's like having cocaine in your pocket and not reaching in your pocket when you're depressed or when you're alone and not using it. And so they get active in bringing every thought captive. D is for discipleship. You know, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 encourages meeting together with the Word over a long period of time. I remember my friend Gary Smalley also used to talk about the most important thing your high school student can do is to be in a discipleship group of 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 of their friends and a trusted Christian leader, bringing the Word active to that group on a regular basis. It keeps the whole group sharp in their purity. E is for empowerment. Ephesians 5:18 says we can't do it by ourselves. But in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, as we enact the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can run in freedom. And then the F is for forgiveness. And forgiveness we have to bathe ourselves with, because shame is also an addiction. But Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So we encourage the bathing of the grace of God on a daily basis. And then finally, Beth Ann, this is so fun. We see kids setting gold medal goals for their marriage. We have them go write their future wife a love letter, telling their future wife that they're worth waiting for, that the purity of this boy is gonna happen. And the purity of our marriage will give us our dream for a gold medal marriage. Adam, do you know what I'm talking about, buddy?
Yeah, and when we talk about goals, I think it's so important, and it's going to be a hard conversation for mom and dads to have, but even mom and dads need to have this conversation with themselves. It's inventory, right? At the end of every camp summer, we go through and look at how many balls we have in basketball and volleyball and archery, and we take inventory to know what was lost, what was broken, what's hurting. And so when you talk about a personal inventory here, I think you need to look at social media and just take a personal inventory and say, is this good? Like, is this really bringing me more good, or is this bringing more harm? And it's hard to be honest, but that's reality. And I want you guys, I don't want to over-sensationalize this or over-spiritualize this, but I want to remind everybody listening, our God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's everywhere. Those are three attributes that Satan does not have. So if I'm an enemy of God, which is the devil, which he is, and he hates him, which he does, and I don't have the same playing field as an omnipresent God, what can I infiltrate to give me the sense of omnipresence as much as I can, even though I'll never be omnipresent? Well, we all know what WWW stands for. World Wide Web. And so I am not saying that social media is the devil, but I am saying he is using it to put his fingers and his reach further than it's ever been able to reach in the history of humanity. And so we just need to be wise in taking that inventory and say, what is this doing to my soul? What's broken? What's missing? And what's my response when I spend time on this device?
So good, Adam. And I'm just thinking here too, in this conversation, all of us, we just have to be willing to potentially not be a part of the things of this world, right? Like, we may not know what the like real or the most funny TikTok is right now because we've chosen to take a step away from that. I recently, and honestly, it's probably because of our first conversation right now, I'm doing a little break from social media.
Let's go, girl.
And it was crazy to think, you know what? Like, I just have way better things to fill my time with.
Come on.
And then I was having a conversation with my parents, and they said, hey, did you see this post? I said, well, I actually didn't. I'm kind of taking a little time off from social media. And my dad said, you know what? I'm kind of doing the same thing. I listened to the podcast on my way to work. And he was like, you know what? And my dad's in his 60s, you guys. He's, you know, halfway to 70. And he's like, I'm spending too much time on my phone as well. And so,
but Beth, let me ask you real quick for our listeners. Yeah. What has that fast done for you?
Well, it's only been about a week, but already I can see I'm using my time better. I've got more space in my brain to think about things that I want to think about. I'm being more intentional with my time with the Lord in the morning, in the evening. I'm picking up the phone and calling people. And to be honest, what's really exposing is, you know, I've taken it off my phone. I've blocked the websites and, you know, Instagram and Facebook, but it's interesting to see how many times I naturally go to reach for it, right? So it's like I've hit a dead space, like waiting in the grocery store line or whatever it may be. And I feel my hand instinctively reach. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not doing that. So how am I going to redeem this moment and use it? And so for me, I'm just like, you know what? I'm just replacing, I'm hopefully replacing what was taking up a lot of space with just things that are going to be more fulfilling and more about what God wants me to do. And so
that's awesome.
You know, it feels like for some people that may feel like a radical thing of like just totally gone. And I'm not saying I'll, you know, never get back on social media again, but for me right now, it's just a break. And so, you know, it's interesting too. We talked about the social dilemma, that documentary on Netflix. And what's really interesting, Joe, I believe they asked the creators of, you know, a lot of these iPhones and different technologies, like they asked them, would you allow your kids to have them or to have access to social media in this way? And the resounding answer was no. Adam, how does that land on you just as a parent and just hearing from the very creators of, you know, these products? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, how do we ignore that, right? Like, how do we ignore the people that have invented Instagram, who invented these social media, that they won't let their own kids touch it because they know the detriment it has become? Like, think about someone who created and put together a Boeing 747, and he put the whole thing together, but he knows something about it the rest of us don't, and he's not willing to get on it to fly. you went, wait a minute, why is he not getting on this plane? What does he know that I don't know? So it's going to cause you hesitancy or pause or in caution to get on that plane. And that's the same thing. I just think we need to pause and caution before we just let our kids go into this. Or and you said this last time on this, this isn't just a kid deal. The parents need to pause and caution themselves too. And look, wait a minute, my kids are watching me. Am I just as addicted to this as I'm telling them not to be, right? And remember, it's more caught than taught. So they're watching you, mom and dad. And so if you're sitting there addicted to social media and you're telling them not to be, it's kind of hard to get that lesson across.
Yeah.
And so everybody knows that vaping and nicotine are harmful. They're addictive, whether you're vaping pot or whether you're vaping nicotine or whether you're smoking it, however you're getting it. But we know in our work with young people that the iPhone is the new nicotine. iPhone is the new vape. Like you say, we grab it, we take a hit, and we get our high, and we get our gossiping, and we get our, you know, hit on judgmentalism and tearing down other people. And then we put it down, we get a hit, and we put it down, we get a hit, and we put it down, and there's addiction everywhere. But as we've said today, God has given us the spirit of freedom. He's not given us a spirit of slavery. He's given a spirit of freedom. Jesus made that crystal clear when he gave us the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the most fun things about camp is we don't do iPhones at camp. The only thing that the leadership use them for is for communicating with each other. Everybody checks their iPhones at the gate, and the kids are so happy. There's so much singing. There's so much joy. There's so much fun. Adam and I asked the kids, do you wish you had your iPhones? Not a hand will go up. And we'll ask them, why in this spirit of sunshine and happiness, why are you glad we took your iPhones away? And they go, because we get to unplug and we get to rest and we get to just enjoy our lives. So moms and dads, it's time to take back your home. It's time to take back your family. That's why they call us parents. That's why they call us grandparents. We're there to take charge and to make our homes clean and pure and right before the Lord. Beth Ann, please close us in prayer today.
And, you know, I just one more comment. I think, you know, Adam, you said this earlier, like sometimes we just need to take inventory. And I think that would be our encouragement today is that, you know, no matter what season of life you're in, that you would take inventory. What is my relationship with my phone like? What is my relationship with social media like? And am I making that my prized relationship, you know, instead of my walk with Christ, my walk with community, my spouse, my family, whatever it is, that you would be really honest with yourself and that you would be willing to maybe do the drastic thing of making some major changes so that you might encounter life to the full in your walk with God, in your walk with the other people around you. And so be encouraged today. We know that this is hard. You are not alone. And we're learning how to walk through this as well. So let's pray. God, we just acknowledge our need for you, God, and we confess just in our sin, God, that we have given ourselves and our minds and our time over to idols, God, idols like phones and social media. And God, we ask for your freedom today, God. Would you remind us of the higher things, God? Would you give us, God, the courage to not walk in the way of the world in our flesh, God? Would you give us power by the Holy Spirit to choose you, Jesus? And so, God, we pray for all the families out there, the students, the singles, whoever they are, God, would you lead them by your spirit in what they need to do, God, after listening to this conversation. God, we love you and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.